Welcome to the Let's Doula It podcast. My name is Anne Glover and I'm a birth and postnatal doula working here in our gorgeous wee Northern Ireland. I also teach the wonderful Mongan Method hypnobirthing course and I do have to say it has amazing results. I'm owner of motherdoula.com, co-founder of Northern Ireland's first doula collective, Doulas of Northern Ireland. So I started this podcast as a means of raising awareness of doulas in Northern Ireland and to chat about who we are, what we do, why doulas do what we do. And listeners have asked for information on resources and what's available in Northern Ireland to support their birthing journey, which has led to some fabulous guests talking about their own personal birthing experiences and also guests chatting about the services they offer. So please join me in welcoming new guests to this podcast. Welcome listeners to this episode of Let's Doula It with the focus on birth healing today. And I'm delighted to introduce Julianne Mullen to our podcast. So Julianne is an energy psychologist specializing in emotions. So I hope I've tickled your curiosity enough for you to keep on listening and find out more. Julianne has some great stories to tell us today, so please stay tuned in to delve into the wonderment of birth, language, healing, emotions, and lots more. So welcome, Julianne, to Let's Doula It. It's great to have you join us today. So would you just like to tell the listeners just a wee bit about yourself?
Hello, Anne. It's a great pleasure to be here. It has been a long time in the making, you and I meeting for the first time. It's a pleasure to be here, and I hope that the conversation we have is as useful to the people listening as it will be for me to put some things out there.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
You're asking me who I am, where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
All right. So the short version is that when I was a social worker in the Royal, it was the Troubles, and I saw a lot. I was on the orthopedic ward, so every Monday were injuries, and I was on the older people's ward, and it was all about get those people out of here. We need beds. The pressure was desperate. And so when I was offered an opportunity to leave the country and go to a wedding in Pretoria, I actually didn't know where Pretoria was. And then I found out it was near Johannesburg. And then I got myself on a plane and I didn't know whether Johannesburg would be near the sea or not. It turned out it was hundreds of miles away from the sea. And I had grown up in Annalong, right on the beach practically. So anyways, from the beginning of that journey, I was on a trajectory of life that has brought me through motherhood and to becoming a motherhood influencer in ways. I wouldn't have thought when I went out to Africa that that would ever happen. I wasn't in the best space running away from the trauma, really, of the Troubles. But I met my husband, and he was a very super Dutch guy who had a lot of let's get up and go, let's do everything's possible kind of attitude. So things like when we were crossing the road, he said, will we get married before, you know, the end of the summer holidays? I said yes. When we woke up one morning and I said, you know, I think I'd keep my name, he said, oh yeah, sure. And then when I said, I think I'd like to have this baby at home, he said, yeah, let's make it happen. So in that context, I was a young woman in my mid-20s in conflict. And the conflict was really absolved in the way that I was able to have a home birth. My conflict, had I stayed at home, was multi-level. It was about going into hospital and being seen, being watched, being looked at, being told what to do, birthing, not being able to breastfeed, would it go well? Would I have any control? A lot of stuff, but mostly about being watched, observed, and that had at the level of performance. You know, how could I possibly have a good birth if I was performing to a stage or an audience? And I played clarinet at school for O-level music, and I did have a concert one day where I stopped halfway through. Just completely stopped, and only that one teacher was in the audience, and she nodded her head, and I, in a yes motion, I was able to take a breath and pick up and keep going. And in a way, that was my metaphor for this is what I need. I need to be in a space where I can find somebody who I trust and do what I have to do. And so the home birthing experience was very much that. The home birthing experience was just beautiful. First birth, morning, waters broke. And I said, oh yeah, the book said, make him a cup of tea and then tell him, I think we're going to have a baby today. So I did, and it was hilarious, you know. Oh, really? Yes, well, let's do this. You know, he was very active person. So he went off and got as it turned out, two doctors, an Irish doctor and her Filipino friend who was more experienced in birthing babies. And they looked after me during the day, kind of said you might have your baby before lunch, but really it took 24 hours, 20 hours maybe. So it was 11 o'clock that night anyway, the baby was born. And I was falling asleep between contractions by the time the baby was coming. I was so happy. I was just saying, oh yeah, another contraction, here we go, woo. And I'd fall asleep, and then I'd hear him saying, wake up, there's another, push, push, you know. So anyways, it was a bit of excitement. People wandered in and out of the house, and I could hear them talking. They kind of, some Filipino friends came to say, how's it going, the women. And I was fascinated, like, where would you have in this place that somebody would wander in and drop off some food or say, do you need anything? That was beautiful. So anyways, I was exhausted, but I was very fit, and I was given a couple of vitamin K injections. Theo had to go across the border into South Africa to the hospital and ask for some, and she said, home birth? Oh, I'll give you two doses. Fine. So anyways, I remember having the baby and thinking, I hope somebody holds her, because really I'm tired, I'd like to sleep. So I fell asleep, and I woke up, and people were sitting in the bedroom, and they were having steak and sweet corn on the cob about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going, oh, this is lovely. And then I fell back to sleep again. So it was like beyond bounds of reality, but it really did happen. So 2 years later, I had another opportunity to have a baby at home. And the both girls were born, well, due on the same date. But the first one was born at 38 weeks, and the second one was born 12 days maybe over past the due date. So now you can imagine they have 3 weeks and 3 days difference in their birthdays. So anyways, I drove over to the doctor's house. He was the flying doctor, and I needed to lend his wife my car. So it was 6 o'clock in the morning. Same thing, made him a cup of tea, had the crack, and then we said, well, we better drive over to the other side of town to leave the car. And we left the car there, and she said, the doctor's wife said, oh, aren't you lucky that Bob doesn't have to fly into the mountains today, flying doctor. He has a day off because it's a public holiday. And we said, that's great, I'll come with you now, and he has a few things to do, I'll call him in later. So she had asked, could she be at the birth? She said, I've had two daughters, but I've never really seen a birth. So I said, sure, come on. So the two of us, and in the meantime, my father had given us Belfast Telegraph apron, wax apron, and some other apron. So I have a photograph of her putting on this Belfast telly apron, you know, to anyway. And about quite early in the morning, like only a few hours after labor, I said, I'll go and lie down now, because I'd been walking around, of course. The first time I did some sewing, but the second time it was all happening a bit quicker. she said, well, I'll go off and get Bob. So Bob walked in and he said, well, you can push any moment. I said, hold on a minute. It's 2 years since I pushed. I don't know what. I don't remember how to do it. So anyways, I wouldn't push now anymore, funny enough. I would allow much more softness, gentleness, slowness. But I was so excited, and I do get excited so tough. Like, that's what the body I work with. And I just pushed her out. And she was like, bloop, she was there. So that was 12 hours shorter labour than first time. But at home, and this time everything had been sterilised, and I didn't get an infection. I had a slight infection after the first baby. I had stitches, but I realised that one of the reasons I didn't want to have a baby here in Northern Ireland was that I couldn't bear the thought of being looked at, and I certainly couldn't bear the thought of an episiotomy, and I couldn't bear, like, a whole lot of things I couldn't bear. So here I was in my own home, in the bedroom next to my own bedroom, the kiddies' room, and I was giving birth on a bed on stilts. Well, actually, it wasn't stilts, but the Dutch paediatrician who lived up the road said, do you know, in Holland, when we're having a home birth, we put bricks under the legs of the bed to raise it a bit, and then after the baby's born, we just take those out and the mum doesn't have to move. So I said, go and get bricks, and away he went. I got bricks, and that's exactly what I did. So anyway, and I think the kitchen table was the first one, a mattress on a wee kitchen table. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, interesting. Well, you see, I'm one of seven children, so I met a woman in Johannesburg at one moment. She was introduced to me as being Alice, who is the mother of seven children. So, and she gave me an orchid for to carry when we got married. And then I met her again, we were going to have this baby. And she said, guess what? She said, do not push lying on a very soft bed. Better the kitchen table than anywhere else. So of course my man hears kitchen table, and we had this small kitchen table, small mattress, and I have a photograph of me up and happy as Larry doing all of this. So that worked very well. And yeah, I mean, it just worked. Everything worked.
This is so lovely, yeah. Julianne, just to hear, you know, how vivid you can remember your births, you know, and it's so lovely. And I hope the listeners are really enjoying, you know, hearing, you know, but your experiences of birthing in a different country as well, you know, because we're so used, you know, just chatting about what's happening here in the different trusts. And this is just so informative and so interesting. It really is. Yeah, so thank you so much.
I'm smiling because I did go to the local hospital. I did meet a gynecologist who would be willing to come to the house if necessary, right? Mm-hmm. He did come. He wasn't invited, but he did come along eventually just to check in, which I thought was very sweet. It was a small area, you know, small town. But the second time round, and I went for an examination, he said to me, are you going to feed with those? And all it was that my boobs were like, I have very, very pale aureoli, or whatever you call them, sort of nipples. Well, and I looked at him, and I fed once again. So that's another point to make to you too, is that here's this young mid-20s girl saying, I don't know anybody at home who has breastfed. Hmm. Yeah. Apart from one woman who used to go into a quiet room and feed. Mm-hmm. And that was the only example I had of breastfeeding. So I talked to my mother about it at one stage, and she said, yeah, I got mastitis, so I couldn't feed after first. So she had seven of us, and she didn't breastfeed any of us. It means that I grew up as the older sister, bottle feeding all my younger siblings. And I thought that was normal. I had a hankering to breastfeed, and in an African setting, it was very easy to explore that and make it happen. So that was another advantage. So there you are. This is the background to having a birth, and then talking to people about it, but never say you should do this too, because every single person with their own needs and wants and desires around a birth the people they have in their environment are either capable or not capable of opening to the possibility of helping you achieve your dreams and your desires.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so really, it's very important to bring it all back to what child am I going to have? And I'll grow it the best I can. I'll birth it the best I can. And I'll mother it the best I can. Mother it, him, her, them. And how the baby comes into the world is sometimes we know exactly how it's going to happen. And sometimes we hope that it'll exactly how it'll go, which is the importance of creating good imagery around how I am birthing, my body is giving birth, I'm cooperating with my body, I'm seeing my baby soon. A lot of motivational self-talk is powerful. But my work now with women is to say, if you see me before the baby's born, it's about developing a capacity to respond in peace to whatever's going on. So to the expected, which is then everything goes out the way you want it, the way you imagined it would. The unexpected, which is a sudden change of plan. And then the impossible, can't know, can't control what other people around will say or do that will influence me. But if I'm, and if I do my job well, women are better able to respond to the not knowing, the inability of doctors to use English instead of Latin, different things. Yeah. So there's that. And then how I got into this birth work is really that had the Julianne who was in Northern Ireland had to birth in the system, she'd have been very conflicted, was already phobic. Now I have learned the skills and I've done the trainings and I've been immersed in birth work since all those years. And when I'm talking to women, it's about finding out what particular thing gives them a buzz, what particular thing bothers them, what particular not knowing would bother them. So we're talking in advance, how do you think you will manage with this? And here are some tips and techniques for, you know, making a success of your response. And then secondly, there's the work that I do after births where there's been a disappointment of some kind, a letdown, an unexpected, something that was really gave feelings of hopelessness or helplessness. And it's very, very important not to hold on to the anxieties after the event and say things should have gone better, somebody should have said something different, I'd have, you know, believed or not believed or spoken up or not yelled or whatever else it was. I'm very much keen that people get the space to say, this is how it went. These were the high points. These were the low points. And we work together. It doesn't take long, but we work together to make sure that every woman can tell her birth story from beginning to end without getting upset by how things went before, because really it's so important for her to be now in this present moment, comfortable with her baby, comfortable with feeding, adapting to the new parenthood, relating and encouraging her partner to relate, because one of you has had the baby, but the other person's role is so important.
And yeah. So I can interrupt you there, Julianne, just to say, I'm just thinking the listeners are listening, and you know, I'm just thinking, you know, you're talking about all this birth healing and a lot of emotions, as we know, is a lot of emotion, a lot of what ifs around birth, and birth, telling our stories of our birthing. And just, you know, you had your babies, you were in a different country, and then you came back to Belfast, didn't you? And you did some, you went on to study a different line of work, is that right? You know, you went on to study more about hypnosis and to give you the tools and techniques to work with birthing people. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah. Given my first career was in social work. So then when the babies were little, I was in development work, and that carried on for about 10 years. And when the girlies were 10, 12, I was looking at, we're living now in Holland and we are going to Ireland, home to a field close to where I grew up. And what am I going to do? How am I going to contribute to society? And how am I going to be comfortable in a world where I don't do well in systems? So Mrs. Thatcher said, you know, become self-employed. And I heard her on the road to Loughlin Island. And I said, yes, that's what I'm going to do. But in reality, what I was looking for was hypnosis, because I was familiar with it. I realized that when I was giving birth, I was in hypnosis. Mm-hmm. I realized that I was tapping. I realized that I was working on a timeline. And when I say that, I'm saying that intuitively I was doing NLP, I was doing birth hypnosis, and I was doing emotional freedom techniques, tapping, as I was having my babies. And it was those courses, as they came up, each one, that I paid my money. I got tax back from somewhere. I don't even know where it came from, but I used that as my investment for doing these trainings. So I went to Scotland and did systemic consulting, and that's really the basis of all my work, where I can micro focus in with women and men on whatever's bothering them in the moment. And then the birth hypnosis, obviously, it's the power of the subconscious to allow the body to do whatever it needs to do. It's and the emotional freedom techniques, that was the basis of a very kind and gentle trauma healing, or when people are emotional and in overwhelm. And that can be like, now I'm so excited, I'm too excited. Mm-hmm. And it can also be, I am too terrified. So no matter what the emotion is, there's a high point and then there are two low points. And I am the person who says, look, let's go to the low point and the high point, and let's bring you to center, so that you can say, oh yes, that was a phenomenally exciting event, and I can tell you about it without getting too excited. And then there's another situation where I was terrified, and I can tell you now I was, but I don't need to feel it again. So these are the basic underlying skills. But as an energy psychologist, I should say, I did a degree level psychology, second and third year at Open University in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And because I had the time, and then I wanted to do energy work, because I saw across the room somebody doing Reiki, and I asked what that was, and they said, it's energy work, you can do it. Mm-hmm. And so I started energy work, and combining the two, and emotional freedom techniques in particular does this, we combine the flow of energy through the body. So all the work of the acupuncturist, the acupressurist, the energy field work, that's all a bit, you know, invisible to the naked eye, but somehow makes a big difference in soothing people when they're upset and overwhelmed. I combine the all of those and into a place where, in Northern Ireland, I felt as a child growing up, emotions weren't respected as being a really important feedback loop for how people are doing. You know, you're told, don't be angry, don't cry, don't be upset, don't dawn, you know. And at the same time, and now I, and when my children were growing up, I was saying, yes, let it out, express it. What is it? What does that mean? You know, you're shouting, what's that about? You're crying, what happened? You know, so as to get to the underlying cause of the upset, that's what settles emotions and makes them very powerful. So the birth work is about making possible that women don't go through what I went through in fear before a birth, going through what I went through, which is learning how to deal with stuff that doesn't go your way. But that's encapsulated now in a whole area of work that I'm engaged in fully now, which is motherhood. You know, being mothers, learning to parent, parenting, and responding to the challenges that come up. All these tips and techniques that you learn at birth, pre-birth, are useful.
Absolutely. And you know, if we were chatting before, we're talking about what we're going to be saying at this wee podcast. You mentioned as well about taking time out to delve into some topics, and forgiveness was one. And I think it's such an important topic, you know, around birth storytelling as well, isn't it? And today, and you know, going on to talk about, you know, creating structure, as you said, for birth story listening. All this about women being valued, and being
heard.
I'm
nodding. I'm agreeing with you. It's really very, very, very special. I think I have created a structure. I know I have created a structure within which I run sessions, and so I'm willing to share that with anyone who wants to, particularly, you know, our doula and birth professionals around, any individual who says, I have a client who wants to talk to me, not to you, because mm-hmm. she knows, likes and trusts me, but I want to know how to talk to her, or I want to guidance on that, I'm only too happy to do that. That's my contribution in life to a networking of support, in the same way that no woman should ever feel that she can't access the kind of birth listening and ancestral healing and intergenerational stuff that comes from previous births by the mother and during the war, during the troubles, we've heard about 9/11 and how they followed the birth weights and the anxiety levels of little children who were born after the 9/11 happened. It's obvious that there's an effect on babies in the womb of difficult and unexpected moments that mothers have. So just knowing that all those things, anything that raises an emotion that isn't comfortable. So I can be upset and be comfortable being upset. I can be angry and be justifiably angry. But if I'm overwhelmed by those so that I can't function and be the best mother I can be and the best parent in the moment, then I know that I just need a chat. And it's either with my doula or my midwife or my trusted professional.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes so much sense, you know, Julianne, because, you know, a lot of the time, you know, you're talking about like deep hurt, you know, that women feel pain, their sadness, shame, or even guilt, you know, and these are words, you know, whenever you and I were talking together about this, you referred to the language of meaning. And I know it's going to resonate with a lot of listeners who, you know, have given birth or who are waiting to give birth. You know, there's a lot of these emotions flying around. So I'm delighted that you've come on today to talk, and I can't believe that our time has almost run away. Would you believe it? Before we wrap up, I think it's really important as well for people to know where to find you. If not, they listen today to this podcast and hear what you're saying and they think, oh, I'd really love to have a chat with Julianne, or maybe I need to, you know, if it's a doula or someone in the birth working world or a professional who you maybe would want to think, oh, I think we could really use this as some CPD or something. How would they go about getting in touch with you, and is there any, what do you actually offer?
As EFT advanced practitioner, I'm certified and accredited. And so my email address is eftexpertni@gmail.com. Anybody and everybody can catch me on the email. What might be easier for you and for me also and immediate is that my text is always open and my messenger on Facebook is always open. So you can drop me a line on the Facebook or through my mobile phone number and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. It doesn't matter where in the world I am or where in the world you are. Mm-hmm. We simply say hello and make an arrangement. So that's, do you want my phone number or not?
No, it's fine. I think the messenger on Facebook's great, but isn't that under your own name, like Julianne Mullen? Is that right?
I have, yes. Julianne Mullen, and also there's a page called The Soul of Motherhood. with Julianne Mullen, and you can send a message there. I have a private group where I talk about health and parenting. So anybody wants to join there as a more general thing, welcome.
That is just brilliant. So thank you so much, Julianne, for coming on today onto this episode. I'm talking about birth healing storytelling, which is just absolutely fascinating. And also for sharing your own personal intimate birth stories as well. I know a lot of listeners really love hearing how other people birth, and it's just so interesting to hear yours, you know, from different parts in the world, and you know, your attitude and how you make that happen as well. And also explaining how you support families, and as you said, not just here in Northern Ireland, but anywhere in the world. So that is just brilliant. I'm really glad that you reached out, because I know this is going to be invaluable to a lot of people. So thank you so much, Julianne, and until the next time.
Oh, thank you, Anne. It's been a great pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye.
For now.